the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, thank you for your grace, and thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus, your only begotten Son, so that we can have life everlasting, life eternal, through his death, through his sacrifice, and through his word. We're asking, Lord, that you speak to everyone today and grant us understanding in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Today we're coming to the Bible reading that we had. We read from Galatians chapter 3 and from Galatians chapter 4. We're doing this for a special reason. The whole word of God is the bread of life. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Notice that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, if we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every word is bread of life for us. The death of Christ gives us the bread of life. The cross of his death gives us the bread of life. Everything is said in the old covenant, everything he says in the new covenant leads us to the bread of life. From Genesis, when God spoke, the day you eat that, you will die. It's a word proceeding out of the mouth of God. And remember, Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Even what we did today in the Sunday scripture, the lamentation of David, is part of the word of God. In fact, a whole book of the Bible is devoted to the book of Lamentations. And so we're not skipping that just because it's lamentation. Everything is the word of life. Everything is the bread of life. Yet, as we have been reading the Bible all over, in the Monday Bible study as well as the Sunday worship, we want to give some time to dig into this scene that we're reading every time. So that's the reason we're coming to Galatians chapter 3 and 4. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 13. In verse 13, it tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, God said, is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive the promise of the Spirit and we receive through faith. I'm talking to you today on believing and obeying the truth in Christ. Believing and obeying the truth in Christ. We have to hear the truth in Christ, and then we assimilate the truth in Christ. We meditate on the truth in Christ, and we believe that truth, and we pray on the basis of the truth in Christ. We have heard and we obey. That's how the blessing of Abraham comes upon us, believing and obeying the truth in Christ. 3 points we're looking at. Number one is the faithfulness of honest heralds with truth after conversion. Number two is the foolishness of heart hardness against the truth of Christ. Number three is the fullness from the heavenly ear, the truth, the Christ. Look at number one. Number one is the faithfulness of honest heralds with truth after conversion. When we talk of heralds, we're talking about the people that go forth to talk about Christ. John the Baptist was an herald. He spoke about Jesus Christ, a forerunner. The apostles were herons. They spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they spoke the word that Christ had given them. And Paul the apostle, when he became born again, converted, he took the word of Christ, and he told, he spoke to the Gentiles, he spoke to the Israelites, he spoke to the Jews, and he spoke to everyone he met. And he was faithful as well as fruitful. He was an honest herald with the truth after he got converted, after his conversion. In Galatians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 15, talking about his conversion. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He was called into salvation by grace, called out of sin by grace, and called into relationship with Christ all by grace, saved by grace through faith. And he said he called me. He had a testimony. He called him by his grace. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, to reveal his son in me. When you are called by the grace of God into repentance, into redemption, into righteousness, is to reveal the work of the Son, the sacrifice of the Son, the salvation of the Son of God, to reveal that in you. Because your life as a repentant soul, your life as a righteous believer, your life as a redeemed, ransomed soul tells of Christ. It tells of what Christ has done. It tells of what Christ is doing. It tells of what Christ can still do. To reveal the Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I took my decision personally. I didn't have to consult with my parents. I didn't have to consult with my friends. I didn't have to consult with the leaders in religion where I've been serving. I gave my life, my attention, my will, everything to the Lord without consultation with any man, any woman. Then he tells us in verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, which once he destroyed. He was now totally born again, completely turned around and completely transformed. If a man be in Christ, just as Paul came into Christ and he became a new creature, and all things pass away. If any man, any woman, any person is born again, he becomes a new creature in Christ, and all things pass away. In verse 24, and they glorify God in me. And that's what happens when you are truly saved. You're truly born again, and the people who had known you before, they see now life is different. They see, they don't see, they are not looking at you in the church. They're looking at you in the office. They're looking at you in the marketplace. They're looking at you in your relationship, interaction with men like you, with boys like you. They're looking at you in your college with boys and girls. If you're a girl, they're looking at your relationship now with the opposite sex. They don't look at you. They don't come to church to look at you. They saw him and they knew and they heard that the man who was a persecutor before is now a preacher of the word and of the same gospel he once persecuted. If you're a real child of God, people can tell, because the light of Christ will be shining through you and he'll glorify God in you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading here from verse 7. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Not human ordination. It's not a denominational ordination. Peter did not ordain him, and the apostles in Jerusalem did not ordain him. Actually, he got saved on the way to Damascus. And when he got to Damascus, Ananias that saw him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you as you were coming has sent me that I should lay hands on you. You received the Holy Ghost and your blind eyes," because it was blinded by the light that shone at that time, "that your eyes will be open." And that happened. That wasn't ordination at all. The Lord himself had ordained him. He is a chosen vessel, and I will show him the things he will suffer for my name's sake. And he began to preach when he got there. And he said, "You ordained me as a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ." If you're an herald, if you're a soul winner, if you're a real believer, that's how you speak. "I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." That means in reality. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're reading from verse 21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." If you have heard him, you have heard the truth as it is in Jesus. If you have been taught by him, it's not denominational teaching. It's not denominational doctrine. It's the truth as it is in Jesus. It's not okay, I'm in deep and light denomination, therefore this is what we do, but I decide that I want to join another denomination. In that other denomination, they don't teach holiness, they don't teach this and that. This is what they teach. Well, that's not a Christian. That's not a believer. He's only living according to whatever they say in whatever denomination he associates with. But when somebody is a real Christian, when somebody is really converted and becomes an honest herald for the Lord, he speaks the truth, he believes the truth, he obeys the truth as it is in Jesus. And he tells us in verse 22, he tells us, he says, that she put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man. That's what happened to Saul, and he became Paul. That's what happened to him. He became totally a new person. Now he was writing to the Galatian believers, and he said, "This is what happened to me. There was a real change. There was an inner change. There was a true transformation. What I was, I removed that. I put off the old man. Now, here is the new creature that comes to you." It says, "Which is the old creature is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." deceitful, lost. You see, when a person has not been born again, he deceives in various ways. He can deceive by bodily action, deceiving action. He can deceive by words of mouth. He can deceive by all the lust and the inordinate affection and the fleshly attractions and distractions. He deceives by all that. He leaves the path of righteousness and he lives in the practice of the people who are still living in the flesh. It tells us in verse 23, it says, and be now renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. There's that renewal that takes place. There is that change that takes place when you become a real believer. That's different from being a church goer. A church goer can join any church, even can join this church where we're worshiping today. If it's just a church goer, it's not renewed in the mind. It still has the old mind. It still has the sinful mind. It still has the covetous mind. It still has the sinful habit that you used to have. It might polish it, might call it by any name, but you're still a real sinner at heart. But when we become born again and we're transformed, there is such a change, there is such a transformation in our lives. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind. In verse 24, it tells us, and that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is true holiness. There is also false holiness. There is true holiness. There is external holiness that is not recognized by God. There is true holiness. There's traditional holiness. That is said, this is the way we should do it, so I do it. There's no change in the heart. It's a put-on thing. They wear it. They wear their holiness on the head. They wear their holiness on the neck. They wear their holiness in their dress. That's external. But this one, the true holiness, the heart is changed. The heart is renewed. The heart is transformed. And so now he has this new creation in righteousness and true holiness. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading here from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Here is Paul still talking to believers. These are real believers. These are not just people that, you know, they come to church or they serve in church or they do this and they do that in the church. But really, the grace of God has not turned them around. And the word of God has not cleansed and washed them. These are people that really knew the Lord. They happen to be in Thessalonica. And it says, for this cause, thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, God did not come down from heaven to talk to them about repentance, about restitution, about salvation, about the new life, about righteousness. He used heralds, honest heralds, that will not change the word, that will not modify the word. He used honest people to serve the Thessalonian people the word of God. And these honest heralds gave them the word of God without any adulteration, without any modification. And now Paul the apostle said, we're thanking God for you, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Ye received it not as the word of men. Well, you know, when Paul the apostle preached, the people did not say, hold on, don't take everything he says. That's just Paul. He persecuted himself so much. He's feeling so much guilty. That's why he's running and running and overrunning. Don't mind him. He didn't know. All he knew was to just get those believers, throw them in the prison. He didn't know social life. He had no time to go to dancing hall. He had no time to go watch cinema. He had no time to drink. He had no time to do anything. All his life was concentrated on this and this and that. Push, push, and push. That's all he did. Don't mind him. No, they didn't receive the word at the word of Mr. Pastor Paul. They received that word as it is. Look at that. As it is in truth. That's it. That's the emphasis. As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And the people who want to excuse their sin, you know what they tell other people? If somebody is trying to get serious, repent, make restitution, live a new life, and have more of the grace of God in their lives, they tell, what's your problem? Is it because of what Pastor so-and-so said last time we went to do? That's why you're so serious? Come on now, be cheerful, be social, be sociable, and do what we normally do. Don't mind all that. And that's not just the man, that's the way he preaches. Was that the first time you listened to him? Okay, no wonder. That's the way he talks. Leave all that and enjoy the works of the flesh. They are unbelievers. They may be in whatever church, they may be in this church, they are unbelievers. And they are people that are taking the word of God and the word of life, the word of eternal life, they take it as the word of man. And because of that, the word does not effectually work inside them. And they are trying to also tell other people so that the word of God will not effectually work in other people. The people they are talking to, all they want is a religious organization. All they want is to maintain the status quo. This is the way they have always lived. This is the way they are now living. There's no grace in their lives because they take the word at the word of man. But in the case of the Thessalonian believers, for this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In fact, we are told of some people that even went higher and deeper than the Thessalonians in Acts chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They were not for argument. They didn't come to church to argue. They didn't come to church making up their mind before they even got there. I'm going to question everything they say. They're going to say this, then I'll say, but how about that? How about that? You know, these people were people that came with a ready mind. If they talk about repentance, I'm ready. If they talk about righteousness, I'm ready. If they talk about breaking up a relationship that I'm carrying on, which is not according to the will of God, I didn't know that which I knew not, teach thou me. If I have done anything wrong, I will do no more. That's how they came. They came with a ready mind. We're going for service today. The Lord might show me things I never heard before. I might see things in my life I never saw. I might have been going this direction. But if anything is revealed to me, which will tell me that this is not the way, I am ready. That's how they went to church. That's how we ought to go to church. It says they received the word with a ready mind, with readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, not only on Sunday, on their own. They got the Bible, they read the Bible, they studied the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Verse 12, in verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. Therefore, because they searched the scriptures, because they wanted to know more. I heard what they said and I took note, and now I'm going to dig in into that same word, so that everything will not just remain in the note, it will jump from the note and get into my heart. It says, because of that, many believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. We're coming back to Galatians now, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 4. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself, he's talking about Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That's why he came. He gave himself for our sins. Please understand that. That's why a true New Testament believing church must always talk on the sins we ought to forsake, the sins we ought to repent of. Well, if you talk about all that, are people happy? Well, they should be happy when the doctor talks about the sickness. Doctor, look at my challenge. This happens. I feel this way, that way. Okay, patient, I'll tell you why. And then the doctor goes into details of what you didn't know. And he says, actually, what you are telling me is happening to you is the symptom of this, of this, of that. And you better do quick so that you remove that. Because if you don't, that what you are describing to me will lead to this, will lead to this, will lead to this. Doctor, do you think you are making me happy? Oh, friend, I'm not trying to make you happy. I'm trying to make you healthy, make you live long. It's not about happiness. It is about you leaving your sins so that you can be saved. The preacher is preventing you from eternal judgment. It's not that I'm happy or I'm not happy. It says Jesus Christ himself, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, jerk us out, rescue us, remove us, take us away from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Look at verse 6 now. In verse 6, I marvel that she are so soon removed from him that called you. Paul the apostle was concerned about the believers in the province of Galatia. Why? They had heard the gospel, the true gospel. They had heard the word of salvation, true salvation. They had heard the word of redemption, righteousness, true righteousness, and holiness. And they received and believed. And Paul the apostle then went to other places to also bring them into the gospel. And Paul the apostle was hearing some other people went there. To those same people, they won't go and do the evangelism outside where sinners are. They came to the people that were believers already. They were preaching another gospel. This doesn't matter. Just live happy. This doesn't matter. Just live hilarious. This doesn't matter. Just enjoy your life. And when Paul the apostle heard, he said, I marvel that she has also removed from the gospel and from the one that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, Galatians, you know what? I was called by the grace of God. I remained. I wasn't removed. I didn't allow my old religious people, the Sanhedrin, to come to me, turn my mind. They said, no, never. But now you are so soon removed from the grace of God to another gospel. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, which is not another, but there the psalm that trouble you. They're just troubling you. They want to spoil your life. They want to take you away from the salvation. They want to pull you off from the Savior. They want your name to be blotted out of the book of life. They won't tell you that. They won't tell you that. They want you to miss heaven. They won't tell you that. That's what they're trying to do, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, but though we, myself, Silas, Timothy, those of us that brought the gospel to you, though we called apostles, or even an angel from heaven. You know, Paul the apostle was so sure of what he was preaching because he got it from the Lord himself. And now he told the Galatians, he said, whatever qualification and whatever talent, whatever gift those people may present to you that they have, whatever testimony they may tell you they have, that, you know, I've done this, I've done this, even if they are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. In verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man, any preacher, any apostle, any prophet, any evangelist, if anyone, whatever their platform and whatever their privilege, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. In verse 10, for do I now persuade men? Am I looking for friends? Paul said, do I feel so lonely? I want friends at all costs. And so I want partners, I want helpers, I want sympathizers. Am I so lonely and Christ cannot satisfy me? I need some of these people. But you know, they don't dwell on truth, and they don't feed on the truth, and they don't rejoice only in the truth. But I need friends so badly. I need to persuade men. I need associates so badly that, you know, I feel so lonely. I feel so much alone. You know, like Paul, I've been in the prison. I've been here. I've been there. And you cannot stand alone like that. So I need to pipe down and I need to mellow down so that I will not lose all friends. Paul the Apostle said, do I try to persuade men or do I seek to please men? If you're going to, you know, have a rich man be your friend, there are things you must not talk about. They don't want you to talk about that. They say, come on now, a preacher. You know, yes, you know, I'm rich, and you know that riches do not come easy like that. I have to cut corners and do this and that. And I hear you now, you are so forceful, and you are talking about this and about politics and about the world and all that. Well, I don't feel at ease when you talk like that, and I'm sitting down right there in front of you. Now, preacher, what do you do? If you seek wealthy friends, if you seek the people that will feed your own ego, you'll say, sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. You know, you are a nice person. You apologize to sinners so they can continue in their sin, and so you can keep them as friends. Paul the Apostle said, no, for if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. That one thing disqualifies you. You know, some of us that go about, we go about different places, like me now. This year alone, we've been in, Sri Lanka, we've been in Singapore, we've been in Malaysia, we've been in Indonesia, and we meet different kinds of people. And this year, we've been in India as well. And we've been, we're still going to different other places. But if I'm looking for associates and friends, some people that will boost my ego, then I will have to change what I preach, because what I preach is not what everybody understands. I have to spend time and say it over and over again, the peace and the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And there are things, you know, you have to preach and you have to say, and some people who are not happy about that might strike back at you. Well, you might think, why is this person doing like that? Understand, are you not an adult? They do that because that thing hits them. And you are not trying to make them your friend. You are creating enemies out of them. That's how they hit back at you like that. But we're not trying to please men. We have to remain with the truth as honest heralds that will promote and preach the truth as it is in Christ. And he tells us, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In verse 11, but I certify you, I assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In verse 12, neither I, for I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're compelled to stay on that truth. And since Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has revealed the truth, then we have to remain the same yesterday, today, and ever. And since God says, I am God, I change not, and he has favored us graciously to reveal that truth unto us, we have to remain with him and change not. In Galatians chapter 2, I'm reading here from verse 4. Galatians 2 verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Do you know there are false brethren? The Bible says there are. Because of false brethren, there are true brethren, those who are really born again, and they love the word of God, evermore give us this bread, the bread of life. But there are false brethren. They don't want to hear the truth of salvation. Why did you come if you don't want to go to heaven? Because this is the gateway to heaven. When we know about our past that is condemned by God, and we know about the present faith that will open the door of the kingdom for us, when we know about the steadfastness we need so that we can continue till the end, that's why we came in here. And if you're a true brother, a true sister, that's what you want to know every time. But if you are false, you don't want to hear anything like that. It says, and because of false brethren who came in unawares. Then it says, who came in privately to spy out for our liberty. Our liberty in proclaiming, our liberty in defending the faith, even with our very life. It says, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They want to bring us into bondage so that, you know, as a preacher, they want to know, okay, what do I preach so that I don't get into trouble? And, you know, they say this, this, and this, and you become their slave. You come into bondage. What is it they don't like me talking about? They don't like you talking about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you do, you get into trouble. Okay, I'm sorry that I've, you know, been preaching holiness before. All right, now that you realize you don't want to get into trouble, you become their slave. You come into bondage. But if you're going to be a real preacher of the word, and you want to be remembered by what you have done, what you have preached, and when the Lord is gathering up his jewels, you want him to count you as one of the faithful people, then whatever friend, whoever friend, no matter how close, and no matter how wealthy, and no matter how supportive, whatever, whenever such people, they say, if you keep on preaching holiness, count me out, you are out already. Let them know that you have already put your hand on the plow and you are not looking back. Like these false brethren, they wanted to bring Paul the apostle and Timothy and Silas and the others back into bondage. In verse 5, verse 5 says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And that's all we're interested in, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Young people, come in, praise the Lord, young people. But you know what? We want you to continue in the truth of the gospel. teenagers coming. Yes, we want you to continue in the truth of the gospel. It's still one generation deeper life, and we don't want, even within one generation, to so sway away from salvation, away from sanctification, away from humility, away from holiness, and away from the thing that we have learned from the word of God, that okay, make room for the young people. How do you make room for the young people? Don't preach the word, just give them what they want. Well, sinners are sinners, young people are sinners, adult people are sinners, and before the grace of God comes to you, you are a sinner. And sinners don't want to change, but they must hear of the judgment of God if they're going to change. So if you're going to make room for young people to allow the flesh, allow whatever, allow what makes them happy, you're not going to preach the gospel. I want to encourage our young people who come, our children who come, who are in the church, that you want the truth to continue with you. It will continue in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two here. Point number two is the foolishness of heart, hardness against the truth of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, what? Paul, you call people fools? No. Paul said, I didn't call them fools. The Holy Spirit called them fools. All scripture is given by inspiration. It's the word of the Spirit of God. Paul was just a pen man to write what the Spirit was saying. It was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that called them fools, not Paul. Paul was just writing what the Holy Spirit was revealing to him. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? That's the essence of it, the truth. Then it says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, are ye so foolish? That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, that ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Are you so foolish that you ask the grace by the Spirit, and the fruit by the Spirit, the love by the Spirit, the joy by the Spirit, the peace by the Spirit, the long suffering, the patience by the Spirit, and the fidelity, the faith you had by the Spirit, and the gentleness and the meekness you had, that you had the transformation, the change of life by the Spirit, and you had the temperance, the control, self-control by the Spirit. You are the fruit of the Spirit. You began in the Spirit. Are you now so foolish that you rejoice in the works of the flesh? Don't you know that all those works of the flesh would lead you into hellfire, that you'll not get to the kingdom of God? Are you so foolish? The same thing that the Spirit of God was saying to the Galatians, the Spirit of God is saying to us in the church here. Not only in this service, in all our local churches, in this nation and every nation. Are we so foolish that we know that the fruit of the Spirit is of the Spirit? We rejoice in that, we live in that. Are we so foolish now we'll go into the works of the flesh? If fornication is there, no discipline, no rebuke, no correction. If adultery is there, no rebuke, no correction. Are we so foolish? Are we so blind? And if covetousness has come in, and There is no humility anymore. There is no meekness anymore. If aggression, aggressiveness, violence, and fighting has come in, and there is no correction anymore, are we so foolish? The beginning by the Spirit, in the Spirit, we're now going on in the flesh. Now understand that word foolish. It wasn't only the Spirit of God that challenged the Galatians and the people that they were foolish. Look at Jesus in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, I'm reading from verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. This is Jesus now saying that if we allow our hearts to be hardened, and then we're so slow in believing what the scriptures have said, that we are fools. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What else are we gathering for in the church if we're not believing what the prophets have said? What else are we gathering from if we are not believing what Jesus Christ himself, what he has preached and what he has said? If we brush aside what the prophets said, what the apostles said, what Christ said, and we just carry on religion, Jesus said, we are fools. And if we preachers, if we're not preaching again the real word of God, the totality of the word of God, and we're only telling some stories so as to bring in people, and all that we're doing, pray for me, and you know, we're praying for the people, and then they need this, they need that, we'll give clothes, we'll give money, but will not preach the word, especially the word of repentance and the word of restitution, and we're so slow in preaching, we're becoming so hardened-hearted, and we're forgetting the day of judgment, that anyone that takes lightly this word will be lightly esteemed when we get over there. And Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then he tells us in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 26. It says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. This is Jesus Christ using the word foolish. Not only that the Spirit of God called the Galatians fools, but Jesus said, if you hear the word, when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn for their sins, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and blessed are the meek, and blessed are they that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great will be the reward in heaven. Now, if you hear all that and you brush all that aside and you are into other things, the Lord said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, collapsed, and great was the fall of it. We're looking at Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 5. Mark chapter 10, verse 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Hardness of heart makes us to forget the standard of the word of God. The Pharisees came to Christ. They were going to ask what they thought was a difficult question. It wasn't inside a church sanctuary, church building. It was in the open. And there are people that may not want to answer such questions in the open. But Jesus answered the question in the open. Is it all right? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Jesus didn't say, don't ask me that. You want to scatter my crowd? If I answer that question, the people here, they won't want to listen to me again. Jesus didn't say that. And we who are preaching the word of God must remain like Christ in the truth that Jesus affirmed. So Jesus told them, and then they said, but Moses gave us the permission to give them the bill of divorcement. And Jesus now said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this. Look, this precept in verse 6. In verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male singular and female singular. That's what he preached, and that is what we stand on. It's the truth in Jesus. But you know, there are people who have got more than one wife. Of course we know. And we're not, you know, in the world. We'll see what happens in the world. Do you think they were calm? Well, God can change and convert anyone. He changed Saul. He became Paul. If somebody wants to get to heaven, he will hear the word of God. He will repent. He will make restitution. He will do the right thing and come back to the standard of the word of God. We don't change just to bring in people. Bring in people. Make people happy. Make people joyful. No. And look at verse 7. In verse 7, for this cause shall a man, this is Jesus, leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. That's what Jesus said. That is truth as it is in Jesus. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, and they twain, not three, the man and the wife, they twain shall be one flesh. So then, there are no more twain, but one flesh. In verse 9, it says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus, Savior, Lord, what do you mean? What if the woman does not know how to cook well? And, you know, she serves me that lousy food. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What if this woman is not compatible with me and I'm not happy? I want to be happy. You are married, you are married. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. How will I be happy then? Well, the number one thing is not your happiness. The number one thing is that if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Let him bear his cross. The cross may not make you happy. The cross may not make you feel comfortable. But if you're going to follow Christ, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, bear his cross, and follow me. And that's what he has given us. And we don't have any right to change the word of God because people want to be happy. And, you know, we don't want you to live in an unhappy relationship. There's nothing like that. The word of God, look at verse 10. In verse 10, and in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And in verse 11, and he says unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So it's not about being happy or not being happy, staying in an unhappy relationship, in whatever. It's about getting to heaven. And if people don't receive grace from the Lord to live as he wants us to live, you'll allow marriage, family matters to take them to hell. I pray the Lord will take away hardness of heart from us as a whole in Jesus' name. Look at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my goods, all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man is just for happiness. All he wanted was for happiness. Happy, happy, happy. But look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. The Holy Ghost made use of the word, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you will not obey or continue to obey the truth. Jesus, the Son of God, made use of the word, O fools, the people that allow the hardness of heart to hinder them to obey the word of God, and they just build religious sanctuary, religious life on the sand. He says, O fools. And now God himself, God the Father, mentioned this man and said, O fool, this day or this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Look at verse 21. In verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We'll come back to this Luke chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 23. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's not convenient, that's not comfortable. Deny himself. That's not always a pleasure. Deny himself. We're not looking for pleasure. We're not looking for earthly, fleshly satisfaction. We're looking for what it means to get to heaven. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. And also telling us, you are preaching one man, one wife. Are you telling the man to stay in an unhappy relationship? Every day, Jesus said, take up that cross daily. Are you telling the woman, well, if she wants to obey the Lord and make Jesus her Savior and her Lord, it says, let her take her cross daily. And then in taking that cross and bearing that cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. In verse 24, for whosoever will save his life. I don't want to remain in an unhappy relationship. Save his life. Shall lose it, but whosoever would lose his life for my sake, well, the same shall save it. Verse 25. In verse 25, for what is a man advantaged or profited if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 15. In Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 15, where then is the blessedness you speak of? Paul the Apostle now is talking to the Galatians. Let's go back to verse 14. Thank you. Verse 14. In verse 14, it says, and my temptation, my trial, my problem, my peculiarity, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. When Paul the Apostle first got to the province of Galatia, and when he had some physical challenges, and he saw that, but they didn't bother about that. They just received him as an angel of God. Now he began to reel out, he began to preach to them of the unsearchable riches in Christ, the truth in Christ, so wide and so broad and so high and so deep. And others now began to tell them, don't mind Paul, leave him alone. And that's a kind of, you know, who can do that? But he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace that was given to me is not in vain. He can give you that same grace. But these other people came and they wanted to water down everything. Now in verse 15, he said, where is then the blessedness she spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Not the way you were at the beginning when the truth was fresh on your heart. And you went to do that, to obey the word of God promptly and wholeheartedly, and you're going to obey the word of God without looking back, without compromise, and without conferring with flesh and blood. Now he challenges them. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I told you about salvation. That's the truth. That's why I'm your enemy now. I told you about restitution, about righteousness. That's the truth. That's what Jesus taught. Have I become your enemy because of that? I told you about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's what Jesus taught. He gave it to me as revelation. I gave it to you. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He told me about the rapture and it's a mystery. Other people have not spoken about it, but the people who make it on that final day are the people that live righteously. Have I become your enemy because I concentrate talking to you on heaven, talking about restitution, talking about righteousness, talking about redemption, talking about how we're going to be with him, that we shall be changed. That be why I become your enemy. It's done nothing, he said. I didn't take anything from you. I didn't, you know, get this or get that. He said, even with my hands I watch that I may minister unto you. Is that why I am your enemy? All those other people, they rip you off. They take from you. And they almost make you to be all the work you're doing. They're going to take all the money from you. I'm not doing that. Why am I your enemy? And you are the friends to the people that are watering down the gospel truth. They were foolish. It was the foolishness of their heart, hardness against the truth of Christ that made them to do that. Look at point number three now. Point number three, the fullness from the heavenly here. The truth, Christ, the Christ. We're looking at Galatians chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 4. In verse 4, he tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5. In verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It now gives us inheritance and we become heirs of God through Christ, through the word of Christ, through the salvation in Christ, and through the relationship, interaction we have with God in Christ, through that reconciliation, redemption we have through Christ, we become heirs of God. Titus chapter 3, we're looking at verse 7. Titus 3, verse 7, that being justified by his grace, ye should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We come to Christ, we come out of sin, out of the world, out of the deeds and the works of the flesh. We come out completely. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He grants us forgiveness. He grants us freedom. He grants us eternal life. And we become heirs of God, because now we're justified. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Affirm constantly. You preached that before, preach it again. You confirmed it before, confirm it again. You affirmed it before, affirm it again. Affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Careful, serious, passionate to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We're looking at Romans chapter 8. I read from verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, and anything that brings you into bondage, to fear the faces of men, to fear the contrary actions of men or women, to fear the position and the portrait and the pressure of men. That brings you to any form of fear is not of God. You don't even want to fear outside your marketplace, in your office, so that you can stand for what you stand for. You can be steadfast and you can live the life that you have known, the life that Christ has inscribed on your heart. He lives inside you, and you carry that out in the office, in your community, and in your home. In your home where you live, you know, it's our own service, you know, it is a gospel evangelical church, Pentecostal church. Orthodox churches, why do they go there? They go because, you know, that's the formality. And they're there on Sunday, and they don't expect that everything they hear on Sunday, they'll do during the week. But for a Bible-believing church, an evangelical, Pentecostal, Bible-believing church, you hear it so that when you hear on Sunday, then you go back home and you practice it. And charity, obedience, faithfulness begins at home. Then from the home, you go to the office. And what you've learned, what you've heard, your practice in the office, no corruption, no covetousness, no compromise. What you practice in the office, you also take to your community. And all the community, they know you. If you're a real believer, it's not just that we hear it on Sunday. We're not Sunday Christians. We are lifetime Christians that we do what we hear. And that's why it says we don't get into bondage again to fear. If you fear your neighbors, you won't practice the truth. If you fear the co-workers in the office, you won't stand on the truth. If you fear your boss in the office, you won't practice the truth. If you're a lady and you fear the boss, a man, you will be in bondage to fleshly activity. But when you come to Christ and you live in Christ, you are not in bondage to any man. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at verse 16. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now verse 17. In verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that ye suffer with him. Look at that. Suffering does not bring happiness. The Christian life is not about happiness in the office. No. The Christian life is not about happy in the home. So that, well, if I'm happy, I'll keep to him. If I'm happy, I'll keep her. No. There is suffering. There's persecution. There is contrary action. But you're a Christian, all you do is to pray for grace and for a strong backbone to be able to stand in the truth and stand for the truth. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. And then he tells us in Galatians chapter 3 I'm reading from verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. In verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Christ, our Savior, heir of all things. Christ, our Lord, heir of all things. Christ, our benefactor, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. In verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. That's how we become heirs, heirs of God. He has purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? Heirs of salvation, we are the people who inherit the salvation of the Lord. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Heirs are the people who inherit the promises of the Lord. In verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs. You see that heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. All the promises he has given, they are all confirmed by oath. And because of that, we inherit them, we're heirs. In verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, and have who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're reading from verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, the knowledge of the word of God. Dwell with them according to knowledge. It's not talking about traditional knowledge. It's not talking about former knowledge. Me, I know, and I still remember how my dad and my mom, how they're related. That's not the knowledge he's talking about. And I know how mommy will act to daddy. That's not the knowledge he's talking about. According to the knowledge of the revelation of the word of God, that's the way he wants us to relate if we're heirs of the kingdom of God. Likewise, she husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as, look at this, being heirs together. We inherit together the provision, the promises, and all the things, possibilities coming from Calvary. Heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. The same mind of Christ. The same mind in the truth, for the truth, living for the truth, and living by the grace of God for the whole revelation of the truth of God, that ye be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Don't allow false brethren to come between us. Love as true brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Those are false brethren. They say they are born again. They're throwing stones and throwing this and throwing that. They're pulling down. They're scattering. And they're hindering those who are still outside from coming in. And they twist the word of God we're preaching. And they send that out, twisting the word of God to hinder other people from believing the truth. Not rendering evil for evil. They are offended at something. They don't like this. They don't like this. So they must destroy the truth of the gospel because they don't like that. They don't like that. He said something. He did something. They don't appreciate. Because of that, they must poison the truth, the word, the gospel, and then allow people to hear something false. And they say, we say what we didn't say. And he publicized error, attributing that error to us. They're trying to do evil because they are angry at something. But you know, such people, they show that they are false brethren. What we are gathering, they are scattering. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should receive a blessing. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, refrain his pen from evil, refrain his keyboard typing from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, no deception. Those are real Christians. Verse 11. In verse 11, let him eschew, shun evil, and do good. Let him seek peace, and then seal and show it. Verse 12. In verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This morning, the Lord is calling us back to the foundation of truth, to the fountain of truth. The truth that saves. The truth that sanctifies. The truth that blesses. And the truth that expands the kingdom of God. The truth that makes us heirs of the kingdom of God. I pray everything that has come to you in truth, by grace, in love, you receive in truth. You receive by grace. And you receive by faith in Jesus' name. That there will be a renewal, a great transformation, that what we were, we will no more be. Something new will happen. And you're not in a hurry to go back home. Actually, you know, today, the Lord's Day, is fully for the Lord. Show your love for God and show your appreciation for the truth of God by spending time to pray. We're going to pray together now. We'll rise up so we can pray together. Let's rise up now so we can pray together.